Baby Blues, an SGA McKay Shepherd Baby Fic by Jen Alcoma. And I know you said if she's not running a fever of 38 degrees, she doesn't need the doctor, but there's definitely something wrong, and our doctor is a 5-minute walk away, so. Also, John is worried sick. He has this constipated look on his face all the time, and he's accusing me of not caring about Sable. Last night, when he brought her to bed, I didn't even kick them out. Yes, yes, you said if I ever want more sex, I'd have to put my foot down. But he shoved her at me, and her face was all red and puffy and wet, and she was shaking. Anyway, I'm late for the daycare drop. We are taking her today, I hope. Wish me luck, Rodney. P.S. You better start sending me those prime parenting tips you've been bragging about. So far, your advice has been mediocre at best. He pushed send and queued the email for the noon dial-up to Earth, hoping Jeannie would have more sage advice for him on parenting and dealing with an overprotective father. Rodney rolled his eyes in exasperation, even though he found an anxious John Shepherd quite endearing. He listened as the man paced from one room to the next, finally stopping John when he came back from the baby room, baby and diaper bag strapped on. John stopped suddenly, made a funny face, then detached Sable and laid her down on the couch. Rodney looked up with a sigh when John started rooting through the bag. "What are you doing? Let's go," Rodney whined. "I just thought she might need some extra diapers and an extra change of clothes since she's been kind of sick lately and all. Maybe we should watch her for a couple, John," Rodney said in a calm, warning voice. "Hours, Rodney, just until this afternoon. She's not having a good day. Maybe tomorrow will be better. Her day hasn't even started yet. Yesterday, you said she was too gassy. The day before, she was spitting up, which babies are supposed to do. What now?" Rodney complained, wondering if they'd ever get to have adult time again. "Check this out," John said, pulling back Sable's diaper to reveal something that looked like mucus and spicy mustard. The fumes made Rodney wonder if something crawled inside their innocent baby girl and died, then liquefied. Rodney's eyes watered, and he felt moisture in the back of his throat. "Oh my God! That has got to make the rash even worse," Rodney groaned in sympathy and disgust. "This is what I'm saying," John agreed. He continued cleaning Sable, talking to her in whispers and promising to not let her out of his sight. She mostly ignored John in favor of playing with his dog tags. When John picked her up and turned around, he saw Rodney standing with a diaper bag and a separate bottle bag. "Rodney, you saw how sick she is," John said, feeling more than a little betrayed. "The thing is, Keller seems to think Sable is just fine. No, she thinks she might be eating too much, or that we need a different nipple for the bottles, or... Rodney frowned, pulling John to the door and rubbing Sable's soft, wild tufts of dark hair. "She meant it could be any number of things, but it's not serious. Besides, Jeannie said if she doesn't have some outrageous fever, she's probably all right, John. Face it, there are always going to be little problems, but life goes on. Rodney kissed John on the cheek just as the door swished open. He pushed the worried father into the hall and braced himself for one last objection when John huffed in frustration. "At least let us take her to breakfast. We can see how she's feeling," John explained. Rodney, naturally, gave in. "Breakfast." "But she's going to daycare, John," Rodney said. At the mess, John pushed scrambled eggs and links across his plate and totally neglected his fruit cup as he watched Torn smile and pat Sable's leg. Despite Taylor's soothing cooing and shushing, Sable continued to become agitated until she squirmed away, rubbing tiny fists at her reddened face in frustration. "Is she hungry, John?" Taylor wondered. "No, she ate about an hour ago. She had a tummy ache, but I thought she was feeling better," he worried, holding his hands out for his daughter over the table. "I am sorry Sable has been having so much trouble lately, John. If there is anything I can do, please let me know." Taylor looked at both men, then to her own son, who babbled something and pointed at Sable. Taylor just smiled and kissed him on the head. "Eat your food, Torn. We are late," she said. "Can you be late for daycare? I mean, basically you're saying the babysitter can work a little less, but get paid just as much," John joked, but nobody laughed. "Martha is a professional child care specialist, John. She has a schedule of events and activities, and Torn is about to miss the good morning songs," Taylor explained.
"We like Yo Gabba Gabba," Ronan added from where he sat,
silently sympathizing with his friends as he scarfed down his bacon and eggs, even though he didn't understand why Shepard was so fearful of letting the child out of his sight. He hadn't brought Melora and Dexon to breakfast because Melora was friends with Martha's niece, Keisha. The girls did almost everything together, including breakfast.
"Okay, okay, I get it. Come on, Rodney. Let's go before she misses the good morning songs," John mocked.
But Taylor just inclined her head towards Rodney and smiled. They all left the mess hall and walked the corridors to the daycare room. Even Ronan walked with Taylor since they had PT and the daycare was on the way to the gym. Torn ran down the halls knowing exactly where to go. Taylor's avoidance of cooking meant he ate breakfast and dinner in the mess and had been walking this path for over 6 months. John started to drag his feet, and Rodney was determined not to say anything. He laced one arm with John's and whispered in his ear,
"This'll be great. Meet me in your office at noon," Rodney ordered.
"I guess, if everything goes all right." "No, John. Promise me you'll give this a try." Rodney stopped walking down the hall from the daycare, and John turned to face him.
"I did. What do you think I'm doing?" John said.
"Promise me you'll leave her there until 5, like we said, John."
"Rodney, but it's her first day."
"Okay," John agreed. They reached the door where Ronan stood like a guard to the side so he couldn't be seen by the half dozen little toddlers wobbling around who, led by Dexon, would invariably mistake him for a living jungle gym.
Taylor was saying goodbye to Torn when John went into his detailed explanation about how to care for his little girl and what every cry meant. Martha was a 5'4" brown skin and ponytail lady with straight black hair that sat like a pom-pom at the top of her head. She took a grumpy sable from John's arms, and he was ashamed at how relieved he felt, because Sable was making ominous sounds, and John had already decided that maybe it'd be okay to let Sable stay in daycare until she cried herself to sleep. John could take it from there. Martha heard the noises, but a quick smell and peek told her Sable was fed and dry. She bounced Sable as she twisted her torso in a quick rocking motion, and it seemed to calm Sable down. "Are you going to remember all this?" John slowed down and stared at the little lady, who made funny faces in response to John's lengthy instructions. But Martha only had eyes for the unhappy baby, as she poked out her lip and shook her head, which interested Sable just enough to gain her awed attention. Sable stopped mewling and started to reach for the face in front of her that now held a happily surprised expression. "Hey, what did you do?" John wondered, half amazed and half envious at Martha's ease in calming Sable down. He knew how to make faces at her. That was his trick. But he hadn't thought to do it when Sable was cranky and about to explode. When Sable was upset, John was flustered. Rodney had figured out how to become sarcastic, cranky, and patiently sympathetic after the first 2 weeks of fatherhood. But all John could ever manage was sheer happiness or an overwhelming wave of fear and anxiety. He could feel his daughter's anguish and frustration, and he wanted them gone immediately. It was as if Sable's every whimper and cry grated on John's nerves and played with his emotions. If that weren't bad enough, John could feel Atlantis respond to his unhappy child, and the city sent annoying little personal alerts to John, her favorite son, that felt like static shock attacks across his skin. He couldn't explain it so he didn't sound crazy, but Rodney, John knew, understood. Nobody else mattered. That was why he didn't say a word when Rodney pulled him backward towards the door. "We'll see you in 8 hours," Rodney waved happily, but then stopped in the doorway. "Oh, she gets hungry lately, so she'll need a bottle and a half. Most people would probably just give her one bottle, but I thought we were leaving." John smiled, and Rodney blushed as John looked at Martha. "Call us if you need anything." "Dr. McKay, Colonel Shepherd, I'm sure we'll be fine. See you this evening." She smiled and turned quickly to attend to Dexon, who was jumping around and throwing wooden blocks into the empty playroom with more force than a toddler should be able to muster. "She'll be fine, John. Now go do Colonel things," Rodney demanded, pushing John into a transporter. When John made it to his office at 11:45, he had a minor headache. Sable had been crying off and on for the last 30 minutes since Martha had fed her. John was sick to his stomach, but he didn't want to have to tell Rodney he was too sick for a nooner. He kicked his feet up on the desk and leaned back in his plush chair that was nicer than the one in Woolsey's office.
John closed his eyes and meditated like Taylor had taught him to, but all he could see was Sable's screaming face. "Hey," Rodney swept in, startling John and smiling widely as John thought the door closed and locked. "Hey," John grinned, sitting up, then thinking he should stand, but Rodney came around the desk and pushed him back down. "No, sit. This is for you," he explained, kneeling down and unbuckling John's BDUs with a smirk. "You've been so worried lately. I just want to help you relax," Rodney explained, rubbing John's cock through the soft black boxer briefs. "Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah," John moaned, leaning back in his chair and lifting his hips, urging Rodney to pull John's pants down below his ass. Rodney's smile distorted with the head of John's cock filling his mouth, but it was definitely there, because Rodney knew John wanted to be fucked. He smiled as he sucked down John's stiffness, promising to fuck John soon. For now, Rodney took his time, gripping tightly at the base and rubbing up and down as his mouth teased at the slit. It felt good, but John's head hurt and he wanted to come. "Finish it, Rodney," he begged. "Not so fast," Rodney said in a voice that would normally send a ripple of excitement up John's back. Now, however, it just frustrated John even more. "I appreciate it, but my head hurts, Rodney," John panted and whined, and Rodney froze. A few seconds later, John was groaning and jerking his cum into Rodney's hand. John thought it was weird because Rodney usually liked to swallow when he was into it, and it had seemed like Rodney was into it to John. He quickly put it out of his mind and focused on his heart, which was beating like a brass band behind John's eyes. Out of the corner of his half-closed eyes, John noted Rodney standing and adjusting himself before walking to the other side of the desk. "I certainly hope you're feeling better tonight," Rodney huffs, a little put out and embarrassed that he basically just got turned down mid-blowjob. "Yeah, buddy. I'm sorry, it was good, but when I saw you were going to take your time..." John thought of saying it was Sable who was feeling bad, but that wouldn't help matters at all, so he just sighed. "Rain check, Rodney." Later, when John was still feeling sick, he gave up and picked up Sable from Martha, who didn't look surprised. She packed up Sable's stuff and handed the fussy girl over with an understanding smile. "She did fine, John," she said, refusing to call him Colonel, since she didn't want him to think that he was in charge in their relationship. Martha was English, and Atlantis was a civilian-run colony. She would only defer to Colonel Shepard in military situations. "Right. If by good you mean she cried all morning," John said, sounding like he was sorry for the young lady with all the little rugrats who were. "Where are the kids?" John asked, noticing it was quiet and he didn't see anyone around. "Nap time. Sable's about to go down if you want to leave her for a few more hours," Martha offered, but John shook his head. "I'm good with nap time. It's all those other times," John joked. taking Sable and almost running out the door. A few minutes after 6, Rodney sauntered in carrying an apple and a turkey sandwich. "So I went to check on Sable around 4. I thought I'd bring her home early after Lauren told me you went home to sulk."
"I told him I was feeling sick," John growled.
"Imagine my surprise when Martha tells me you picked up Sable hours before." "I can explain, Rodney. Martha's okay, but I just don't think Sable's ready for daycare."
"You promised, John."
"But she cried all day."
"Rodney, and I was just sitting at home. I had to get her,"
John whispered as he rocked Sable into a fitful sleep.
"Yeah, well, it was her first day. Tomorrow will be better,"
Rodney said, ignoring the scowl that earned from John and resigning himself to the probability of skipping the dirty fuck he had planned to throw the colonel once Sable was down for the night. The next day, Rodney notified John that he would be monitoring John's movements all day. What he didn't say was that he was worried about John, and he was worried about Sable because he trusted John's instincts. Instead, Rodney also watched the daycare on one of his laptops. He became increasingly agitated when it came time for Sable's second feeding and Martha didn't give her a second bottle. Not once did Martha use the rash cream John gave explicit instructions for, and Sable was doing a lot of crying. She cried during belly time, on the mat with the toys hanging above her, and during game time until she stole someone's teething ring and was content for 10 minutes. Rodney was so relieved to see Sable relatively calm that he didn't even mind the germs. At 5 p.m., Rodney was angered by the inefficiency of supposedly professional child care workers. He had a survey of questions for Martha to answer, starting with if she were licensed and if that involved more than paying for a piece of paper in the UK, and if she made it a habit to completely disregard the parents' directions in care for their children. When he got there, the first thing he saw as the door slid open was John talking to Martha as she rocked Sable and rubbed her back.
"You should try it, John. I already spoke to Keller. Since the regular supply comes monthly, but medical supplies have priority, try something hydrolyzed."
"Shut up, you child abuser," Rodney stormed in. "I saw you starving her and not giving her the medically prescribed cream. I'm telling all the parents, Rodney. Let's just go, okay?"
"Go? Did you hear me, John? She didn't feed Sable like I told her, and she didn't even give our child her medicine. You should shoot her."
John paused and quirked a brow at Rodney, who sighed and tried again.
"You should hit her."
Which still left John staring at him disapprovingly, so Rodney gave in.
"You should have Taylor hit her.
Hard," Rodney decided, even though he instinctively felt the parents should be doing the avenging. She was John's daughter, and if John wouldn't hit the lady abusing Sable, Rodney would. He walked a few steps to Martha with a purpose John immediately understood seconds before Rodney threw his punch. Martha ducked, clutching Sable tightly to her breasts, looking surprised.
"Dr. McKay," she gasped, wide-eyed. But Rodney wasn't responding as much as he was spinning strings of illogical curses towards her, accompanied by the curious stares of young children. John, who had the baby bag but not the baby, caught Taylor's eyes as he dragged Rodney out of the door.
"Give me my baby! Give me Sable! John!"
Rodney yelled once the doors closed and John had him pushed against the opposite wall. "We're going to dinner, Rodney. Taylor will bring Sable."
"Sable is fine, Rodney. No thanks to you," John assured, draping his arm around Rodney's shoulders and forcing Rodney to walk to the mess.
"Honestly, I'm not sure if I'm more concerned that you just tried to hit a girl or that you just tried to hit a girl who was holding your daughter."
John paused here, and Rodney shrugged silently, admitting that he'd gone a bit crazy back there. John took this as his cue to continue educating his baby's daddy.
"Martha, who's a doctor, by the way, was just telling me that she's seen babies like Sable before. She thinks Sable's probably allergic to the milk, and we should switch. She says it'll probably clear up the rashes and eczema and all the crying. She says Sable's having a hard time digesting the milk, and we should try a formula like the one we gave her the first few days."
John went on babbling like he hardly ever did, allowing Rodney a few minutes to calm down. When they arrived at the cafeteria, they had to wait in line. Rodney was quiet, but remained tense until John motioned Taylor forward when she walked in with Sable in her arms and Torin running behind her, darting around Lantian legs like they were trees in a human forest. When he reached John, he tackled the hard, skinny legs and laughed and squeezed until he was lifted up and face to face with his Uncle John. Torin took this as unspoken permission to play with John's funny hair. Torin looked at Rodney, who was taking his baby from Torin's mommy. His Uncle Rodney looked mad. Sometimes Torin laughed when Uncle Rodney got mad, but not now. He touched Rodney's face. "Abel?" Torin said, pointing to Sable.
Yes, she's okay. Your Uncle Rodney got a little out of control. I thought you were supposed to protect her," Rodney teased, tickling Torin playfully.
Taylor smiled, glad Rodney had calmed down so quickly.
"I think Martha would like to hear that, Rodney," Taylor added.
Rodney grimaced, thinking never in a million years, but he wasn't stupid enough to say it to Taylor. Privately, Rodney knew his lab assistants made perfectly good babysitters.
The musical selection is Despertar by Aisha Duo. Any comments or suggestions can be left at the text link at audiofic.com.